Hi, I'm Dave Summers, and welcome to AMA's Edgewise. The first year of a president and chief executive officer is a critical period for an organization's success. These 12 months provide insights into the effectiveness of the CEO's leadership style, his or her priorities, and most important, his or her fit in the organization. In January 2006, Robert Lopes joined Veritude, a Fidelity Investments company, as its president and chief executive officer, bringing his significant professional experience in HR services and proven ability to successfully build a business. Veritude was founded in 1986 as the internal provider for Fidelity's North American staffing needs. Today, it offers a full suite of services, including recruitment process outsourcing, staffing, managed services, and consulting. Hi, Bob. Welcome to the program. You've been the head of Veritude for a little under 2 years. What advice could you give to a CEO in a similar position?
Well, actually, you know, it's been almost 19 months, almost coming on 20 months. I'm tracking the days. And the reason I say that, it's actually been a phenomenal experience running Veritude over the last year and a half. When I came in January of 2006, one of the things we really needed to focus on was creating a roadmap that people could understand in terms of where the company was going. Veritude was incorporated in 2000 and has grown actually at a fairly strong rate, from 2000 to 2004, 2005. But as you get larger, what's needed is kind of a clear mission and direction when you're talking to your employees. So when you make decisions, people can tie it back to something and make sense of it. So to answer your question more pointedly, one of our focus has been to set out a clear 3 to 5 year mission. You know, we say 5 years many times, but in the talent management recruiting space, the marketplace changes so fast that you can have a vision for 5 years, but you're really modifying and refining it every 6 to 12 months. So we really set out a clear roadmap in terms of diversifying our products, being very clear about the target market we were going to go after, and the margins that we wanted to make on this business, the investments we wanted to make in this business, and really the focus in the mission of the management team was to rally the troops in terms of buying into that strategy and really taking the company to the next level.
Okay, so how important is your company's culture in achieving your goals?
Actually, it's for me, it's got to be close to the top of the list, and the reason I say that, and I say not the top of the list because I also view execution of the plan as being just as important as the culture that you have in place. One of the things, and I will never forget this, when I joined the company in Veritude in January of 2006, one of the first things I did was go around and one-on-one interview 40 to 50 people within the company at all levels within the company. I interviewed executives that were a part of our board to get their understanding of what's going on. And I distinctly remember this. I remember going home one night and even telling my wife the level of commitment that we saw, that actually I saw from the employees in terms of wanting to see Veritude succeed, was over the top. And usually when you come into a new entity, one of the things you have to do is get people to buy into the company and where we're going. I already had that. I had people who actually believed in Veritude, and really our job was to actually say, what do we want Veritude to look like 3 to 5 years downstream? You know, at the end of 2005, we were a $300 million company. At the end of 2007, we will be well over a $500 million company. So we've actually experienced significant growth in the last 18 to 24 months. And what's more important in terms of the culture is everybody really understanding what they do and how it fits into our strategic mission. So if I go around the company, if some of our executives go around the company and we talk about operational efficiency, or we talk about growth in commercial business, or we talk about strengthening our own bench in terms of practicing what we preach, many of our employees within Veritude understand what that means specifically to us.
All right, when you look at culture, can you point to some specific actions you took to improve the corporate culture along the lines of your strategic goals?
I'd like to give you a highfalutin answer to this question, but it's really back to the basics. You know, one of the things that we do is I feel like as a company, we're open door policy. We're very open and honest about our conversations in terms of what we're doing well, what we're not doing well. We have a culture in which the management team interacts with everybody within the company, whether it's from 9 to 5 or it's after work or getting together socially in functions. Being a Boston-based company, I'm not going to say being a Boston Red Sox fan is a requirement, but we actually socially have a lot of fun with our New York Yankee fans that work within the company. We do not discriminate based on that. But really what it is creating a culture where you can walk around and sit down, whether you're talking to a middle-level management executive within our company or a recruiter, and ask them how things are going.
You mentioned earlier that culture was one of two key issues. Strategy execution was the other. Can you share with me some ways that you've ensured strategy execution?
You know, it's interesting. If you go in my office, there's a little sign I have taped to my wall. I'll paraphrase. Strategy without execution is hallucination. And I firmly believe in that. One of the things that we really need to, when you talk about the talent management space and what we need to do to be successful within our companies, we have a strategy of having long-term partnerships with our clients. So we will provide recruiting on behalf of our clients, but we don't do it through storefronts. We actually create a national hub and spoke approach where we create scale and volume of finding talent for our companies. A hub in Boston, a hub in Dallas, a sourcing division in Bangalore, India, and we'll continue to actually maintain and manage the quality by doing several hubs based on volume we have in different parts of the country. So we take a different approach in terms of finding and sourcing talent for our clients. And it really, to go back to your question, is about execution. We feel we can actually control the execution, but more importantly, the quality by staying focused. It's interesting. I worked for somebody 20 years ago at a prior life, and all he used to say to me was, focus, focus, focus. And one of the things that really has influenced me over the years is actually take on a handful of initiatives and basically hit home runs as opposed to take on a dozen and hit lots of singles. So we're really staying focused in terms of how we can expand recruitment process outsourcing, how we can expand our temp placement, our direct hire, and our workforce planning and consulting, and really how we can bring value to our clients with that kind of focus.
What do you want people to think about Veritude in 2 to 5 years?
Yeah, and my answer today is very different than what it would have been 18 to 24 months ago. Our focus 2 years ago, and I'm going to quickly get to answering your question, was to have Veritude become much more of a household name within the HR space, among our competitors, within the industry, with the analysts. I think the fact that we are keynote speakers at many conferences now, we are known by our competitors. The fact that you are having me here today on the show is another testament in terms of the progress we're making within industry. Over the next 2 years, we want to become much more of a household name in terms of our HR, procurement, and within CIOs. I mean, we see the industry moving and evolving quickly and more so to the IT and technology space, financial services space, mid-level management. So our marketing and branding and our efforts and our investments over the next 2 years and our focus in terms of our target market will continue to improve our name recognition within that space. I mean, you will never see us, I shouldn't say never, you never say never. I was told that by my father years ago. But I very much doubt you'll see me advertising at halftime at the Super Bowl because that's not my buyer hub. Our buyer hub is really over time has become more procurement, HR, and more specifically, business unit leadership, CEOs, CFOs, CIOs of divisions within larger companies. And we're going to continue to focus on that target market.
Our guest today has been Bob Lopes, the CEO of Veritude. Thanks for joining us, Bob.
Thank you for having me here today. Appreciate it.
You've Yes, now it's time for You've Been Spotted, where we interview random people who are attending a workshop or seminar at one of our five executive conference centers. For more information on our executive conference centers and seminars, please visit our website at www.amanet.org. Take it away, Kevin.
I'm visiting AMA seminar, Moving from an Operational Manager to a Strategic Thinker, taught by AMA seminar leader Clark Lambert.
We work for the pharmaceutical industry, and strategy is key in order to have that competitive advantage against our, obviously, competition. So understanding the challenges that our customers are facing today and then applying it into some formal strategy plan will help us to succeed. In dealing with day-to-day situations, we find that the time allotted to do strategic thinking is few, far in between. So in taking this course, we wanted to understand what types of modules or things that we can do to apply to strategic thinking as a whole.
My name is Clark Lambert. I'm one of the instructors going from an operations manager to a strategic thinker. The great majority of people who take this course are people with zero to maybe less than a year of experience in strategic planning. 98% of them are operations manager. By the numbers, step one, step two, step three, and as the course would say, it is what it is. You can change it. And what they need to do is broaden their horizon or change their paradigm to from what is to maybe what if. So it's changing their paradigm, going from this is the way it's always been to maybe there's new horizons.
Well, I guess there's a lot of ahas, because the things that we're doing, although we didn't know the concept names, are being applied in our day-to-day situations as a strategic thinker. So it just enforces what we already know. Some of those things are SWOT, the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats or obstacles, as we term it, as well as strategic frame of thinking and IP matrix.
Early on, I take a poll of how many have had no experience, 1 to 2, 2 to 3. 90% have no experience. So I say the first day is building up on key terms. Don't worry about putting them together. It's building blocks. Day two, we start putting it all together slowly until, as of right now, it's about 3 o'clock. They're working on their own developmental plan, what they specifically will do. So first day is I'm overwhelmed. Second day, by early late morning, oh, wow, I'm beginning to see the picture.
We'd like your feedback, so please drop us an email note at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That number again is 800-697-3406. One of our listeners will receive either a $200 discount on an AMA seminar or a free book from AMACOM, a division of the American Management Association. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.